Just give us some reasons to feed into our prayer in a moment, because it's a psalm of giving thanks and giving thanks for the Lord's work in our life. Thanks, Andrew.
Psalm 116, for those reading along in the Blue Pew Bibles, that's on starts on page 510. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So far we shall read his wonderful word.
It's 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 to 18. Which is our text for this evening, 2 Corinthians 4, 13 to 18. I'll be particularly focusing on verses 16 to 18, but just for a little bit more context. And maybe I'll just begin at verse 7. So 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self has been renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. The things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, perspective is everything. What you think about the future determines the present, does it not? Think of a member of the Australian cricket team. Have you seen what they do to prepare? The long distance running, kilometres and kilometres of running, the weights, the warm-ups, the stretches, the net sessions with 500 plus balls, hours on end in the nets. That nutritional intake carefully monitored. The 8 hours of sleep. The list goes on. Why would you want to do that to yourself at this time of year? They could be around the barbecue. They could be fishing. They could be up in Noosa. Instead of thongs and singlets, though, they don their cricketing pads. Why? Well, beating England in the Ashes, of course. That's why. What you think about the future, or what the future you perceive holds before you, determines the present. The Apostle Paul has been battered and bruised. In 2 Corinthians 11:24, we read, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers. And so the list goes on. At the writing of this letter, he's older, he's aged, he's probably tired. His body likely bears many scars, physical scars, and maybe mental ones too. Why go on in the work of the ministry, Paul? Maybe you've been a Christian for a while, or maybe just a short time, and your zeal is waning. Maybe you're losing heart in your Christian walk. Maybe you're losing heart in church ministry. Why go on in your Christian service? Why not just put on the cruise control for 2026? Eat, drink, and be merry. Go live your dream. After all, your sins are forgiven in Christ. You go and you do you. Why not? Well, in one word, glory. For 2026, don't lose your Christian heart of service. For you are called to glory now and forevermore. There are several encouragements already in our passage beforehand. For us not to lose heart in verses 13 to 15, the Apostle Paul is motivated by his faith. He's motivated by the fact Jesus has risen and he will be risen. And he's motivated by God's glory. And he wants to do everything for God's glory. There's motivation enough there for Paul already. And motivation enough for us. Serve the Lord in faith. Serve the Lord knowing you have a future home. Serve the Lord because he is worthy of glory. However, the reasons don't stop there, and so we have more motivation not to lose heart. Firstly, see that lasting investments are inward. Here's some more motivation. Lasting investments are inward. Sometimes we can think life goes on. 2026, just another year, and to some extent, it is just another year, but there are differences. And verse 16 highlights the difference. It says it'll be another year of physical decline. We read, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self has been renewed day by day. There is, just to let you know, some disagreement amongst scholars about this phrase, outer self. Some think, well, maybe it points to the sinful nature. We put off that sinful nature. We put off that old man. And they view the outer self in that way, in that ethical way. However, while that's true elsewhere in other passages, to put off, put on the new nature, it doesn't seem to be what's going on here. Here the reference really does seem to be the physical nature. The physical body is previously mentioned in verses 7, 10, and 11. And the word wasting in verse 16 suggests that that steady and even observable process of decline. If we were there during that ministry of the Apostle Paul and we hadn't seen him for 10 years and then he pops up at this point in history, we might look at him and think, ooh, you've aged a bit. That's life, isn't it? Because we don't grow younger. We can't reverse the aging process. Of course, the anti-aging industry is huge. Billions and billions are spent on these anti-aging technologies now. Have you noticed? And a little while ago, Google Ventures CEO Bill Maris has previously said, if you ask me today, is it possible to live to 500? The answer is yes. That's what he says. However, if we understand verse 16 rightly, then the answer is no. No, we're not going to give Methuselah a run for his money. Instead of searching for the fountain of youth, the text points us to something better to pursue. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Inwardly, we are being renewed. To put it differently, inner glory is growing. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. See, when you become a believer, something beautiful happens, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit comes and he opens our heart. He places faith in our heart. And by that faith, we embrace Christ and we embrace all the blessings of Christ. And one of these particular blessings is we begin to be renewed from the inside out and glory begins to grow. And the Holy Spirit becomes a guarantee of future glory as well. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self which has been renewed in the image of its creator. So while outwardly perishing, inwardly being shaped for glory. And Martin Lloyd Jones, in his last days, you know, the famous pastor and commentator, his speech left him. I think that that's probably a worst nightmare for many seniors. His speech left him. As one of his daughters, Elizabeth, sat beside him, he pointed her very definitely to the words of 2 Corinthians 4:16. As Elizabeth relates, quote, when I asked him if that was his experience now, he nodded his head with great vigor. This is an encouragement for the next time disease or injury lays you low. In those times, we'll be frustrated, won't we? You can't do anything. And many of our seniors feel that way. They can't do what they want to do in church life or in general life. Take heart that our infirmity is an opportunity for spiritual growth. And for renewal as we get ready for eternity. And the overall encouragement over all this passage, and already we said in this verse, is continue in the work of ministry. Continue, for it's the soul work that stands the test of time. It's the growth and grace that'll never leave you or your children or grandchildren. You'll have to leave your muscles behind. You'll have to leave your abilities behind, your beauty. But your Christian character will go on and on until that day it is fully glorified. So there's lots of encouragement there to go on. And then there's more encouragement in verse 17. And so the second thing to note is, see the weightier glory. See, I don't think the Aussie cricket team trains as hard as they do for a game of backyard cricket. In their view, the ultimate prize was the Ashes. So the training to them probably doesn't seem so bad. Maybe it seems a bit worse now that the 3-0 up, but probably didn't seem so bad earlier on with that prize in view. Same, you know, with your young people. You know, you're doing the hard yards in study and it's hard, but you've got the prize in view. That qualification or that stepping stone to career. You've got the prize in view that keeps you pushing on. For Paul, the trials don't seem so bad. They don't seem so bad. That was quite a bad list earlier. It was quite the list. But he refers to them as light and momentary. See, he's not trying to be stoic here and stiff upper lip. Yes, I had a hard time, but it was nothing. There's others who are worse off than me. And he's not proudly trying to say, oh yeah, it was a piece of cake. They were tough times. And he was honest about the fact that the trials almost killed him. Earlier in 2 Corinthians 1:9, for we don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we'd received the sentence of death. He didn't hide the fact that he was almost down and out. You know, sometimes genuine Christians despair over life itself. So why does he say then light and momentary? Well, they were painful and he felt it. But there were glorious realities ahead that outweighed them. And that put the suffering into perspective. Verse 17 refers to an eternal weight of glory. As you know, the word glory means heavy or weighty. And in fact, the glory being spoken of is so weighty, it really is beyond description. Because what we are pointed to here is nothing less than all the splendor and all the magnificence of heaven and all its future glory. And how can we even grasp that? Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. What is to come just blows our minds. It's so glorious. And the words in English and the words in our Bible can never do it justice. Can never capture the fullness of what is coming. But God gives us some words to have a taste. To help us grasp with our little minds and our little capacities, help us to grasp just a little of what's coming. There'll be no sin or mourning or crying or pain. Heaven is described as a reward, an inheritance, feasting, a wedding, celebration, living water. Heaven means a new resurrection body where everything works. A new heavens and a new earth. And it is described as unceasing worship before him who sits on the throne and before the Lamb. It'll be perfect peace, joy, fulfillment, delight before the triune God. And we can go on, but you see, the language is still too small. But can you grasp just a little of the beauties that lie ahead? The glory that is coming. It far outweighs everything. And when that is before us, the whole perspective changes. And so the Apostle Paul kept going in the work of ministry. Difficulties still lay ahead. There's another imprisonment still to come. But in the perspective of eternity, it was light and momentary. What does it mean for us? Well, the so what of the passage then is refocus from the seen to the unseen. Let us refocus from the seen to the unseen. as we head into 2026, we need to ensure we have the right focus. And that's what verse 18 is about when it says, so we fix our eyes. It's not talking about our physical eyeballs. It's a call to focus. To put it differently, the question is, what is it that will absorb our hearts in the year to come? And we are warned not to look to the seen, wasting your time. By seen, the text refers to this visible world and the values of this world and the money and the success and the wealth and the fame and the pleasure and you name it. Now you might say, well, do I neglect my business for devotional studies? Do I neglect my family for lots more personal prayer? No, that's not the point. Of course, we've got to be stewards of all we get. And if you have a business, feel free to build a bigger business for the Lord. And if you have a career, by all means, advance it for God's glory. Be good stewards of the talents that you've received. To whom much is given, much is demanded. But you see, it's about focus and emphasis. Did you notice that in the parable of the rich fool, the problem was not that he actually built more barns? He could have done some good stewardship by building more barns. The problem was, that comes up, I can't remember, 8 times, the word or letter I was all about himself and his pleasure. That was his focus, you see. He was rich toward himself, but not rich toward God. That was the warning at the end. And so we are warned not to focus on the seen, not to be rich towards the seen, but to be rich toward God, because what we see is so temporary. Wealth and success, fame, family, health, life, it's all so temporary. I don't realize that when things are going well. But even if we get to enjoy it all, it's only for a short time. A dopamine hit here today and gone tomorrow. Psalm 39 verse 5, behold, you've made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. It's all so temporary. So you and I would be foolish to put all our eggs in the basket of this world. As C.S. Lewis put it, whatever is not eternal is eternally out of date. So we are to fix our eyes on the unseen. The eternal glory that far outweighs it all. If only by God's grace we can grasp more of what that glory is. Fix your eyes on the streets of gold and the celestial city to come. Fix your eyes on this inheritance that 1 Peter 1 says is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It's the sheer weight of eternal glory that kept the Apostle Paul going in ministry, along with all the other gospel blessings. But this also propelled him further in ministry. That's what motivated, of course, those 5 evangelical missionaries to bring the gospel to the Oka people in 1955. Remember that the Oka Indians, that isolated tribe, violent tribe in the rainforest there. Despite the danger, the missionaries set out. And of course, 1 or 2 or more lost their lives. But Jim Elliot famously said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. What do you and what do I see as we get ready for 2026? What do we see? What are we fixing our eyes on, our hearts on? Fix your eyes on the eternal glory that Christ Jesus has called you to. You and I are so blessed. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "No eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." You love him, and he's going to take you home to enjoy him forevermore. Not only have we been forgiven, healed, and restored to our God, we are being renewed for eternal glory. So in conclusion, don't lose heart in your Christian life and service. You've got an eternal weight of glory ahead. Don't lose heart in service at home, at church, or elsewhere. Don't lose heart in the face of persecution. With the Lord's help, let's maintain our zeal for the things of his kingdom. Adjust your resolutions and plans to suit. Ask yourself if your focus is in the right place. Is it really in the right place? And you really need to spend a time, take some of your holiday time or some other time on the Lord's Day. You need to take a portion of time to reflect on this. This is not just a sermon to go in and we move on, but you need to reflect on these heart questions. Do you just want more of this world? Are you saving for your retirement, or are you living for your retirement? If you get the difference there. Are you building your business, or are you living for it? Are you giving your heart and soul to that instead of to God? Are you building your family, or are you living for it, making it your idol? And we could go on, and we should ask the question. Because we really don't want to end up on living for the temporary and finding ourselves empty-handed at the end of our life. An empty-handed eulogy, because there's nothing useful to say. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. He'll take care of you. Just put them first again and again. He'll sort out the rest. And appreciate this temporary nature of the world. I can't get it across to you or to my own soul, because until we're in this situation, I guess it's just hard to comprehend. But that this world is so temporary, and we don't know if we're going to see out next year. That's how temporary it really is. But our life is in the Lord's hands, and we live and move and have our being. So we can't guarantee we're going to be here at the end of next year. Praise God. It doesn't matter if he were to take us home. Praise God, because we'll be going home to the eternal glory. But in our planning then, plan conscious that it is so temporary. Plan humbly that it is so temporary. So James is trying to say, to try and get us to comprehend in James 4:13, what is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Indeed, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. And so, brothers and sisters, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where we're going, and he's set the path, and where he's taking us to be there, because it's all by grace and by his work. That's where we're going, that's our perspective, and that's our encouragement for 2026. Amen.